Say you're on the board of a local nonprofit. Say you also happen to own a company that might do business with that nonprofit. Would that be acceptable, or would that be a conflict of interest?
It's an especially prickly question in higher education. Back in 2010, one study found that 25% of colleges and universities nationwide did do business with companies that had ties to trustees on the school's boards. Well, it turns out the number in Massachusetts might be much higher.
That's according to a new report called Errors of Omissions, Transparency and Disclosure of Trustee Conflicts of Interest at Leading Private Colleges and Universities in Massachusetts.
It's published by the TELUS Institute, a Boston think tank, and it was funded by SEIU Local 615, a union that represents workers at some of the colleges featured in the report.
And that's a potential conflict of interest itself that the lead author of the study, Josh Humphrey, does not shy away from, as we'll hear in a moment. When we spoke with him earlier today, we asked him just how many Massachusetts colleges have trustees who might also be doing business with the school.
70% of the 20 most well-endowed private nonprofit colleges and universities in Massachusetts disclosed some kind of business transaction along these lines. This is far greater than the national average of only 25%.
So can you tell us in more detail exactly what the conflicts are? What are these relationships that you found?
Sure. There are college bookstores on campus that are outsourced to groups like Barnes & Noble. There are healthcare and pension plans that are outsourced to insurance companies and to investment firms. And then the most frequent business transaction that we found reported was related to investment management, often of endowment money that's being managed by trustee-affiliated private equity firms or hedge fund complexes.
Well, Josh, let me ask you about that specifically regarding Harvard, because Harvard University filed its IRS forms under the auspices of the Harvard Management Company, and that is actually the company that oversees the school's very substantial investments. So does it not make sense then that what you see as a conflict of interest is just, in Harvard's case, say, a natural outgrowth of the way it's managing its money for the good of the university?
Well, it may be. The problem with Harvard's disclosures is really twofold. On one hand, it's simply exceedingly complex. Anyone who might be interested in understanding the nature of potential sources of conflicts of interest at Harvard would really be faced with the daunting challenge of reviewing not only the main tax return of Harvard University, but also that of Harvard Management Company, as you mentioned, but also a raft of dozens of related organizations that also file IRS 990 forms, which we reviewed. And the lack of transparency related to the endowment's investments makes it very difficult to identify potential sources of conflict. Indeed, we highlight the case of Harvard because there was a widely reported investment that the university has made in a private equity firm known as Greylock Partners, which is affiliated with one of the board members of the Harvard Management Company. Yet Harvard did not disclose this as a conflict. It may be that the university is not invested in Greylock, but it has been reported widely in the press that they are.
So is that what you see as sort of one of the major problems here, is not just the conflict, but the lack of transparency with which some of these universities are or aren't reporting potential conflicts?
Absolutely. We're not providing a legal analysis or even a fiscal analysis. I'm neither an attorney nor an accountant. I'm simply approaching this with my team of researchers as a citizen, reading what schools are invited to disclose and what, in fact, they do or do not disclose. And what we find is they report very uneven things. Some reported fees, especially investment fees. Others appeared to report the amount of investment at stake. It's very unclear for the layperson to understand the nature of these transactions. And as tax-exempt institutions, schools really have an obligation to the public to disclose this in order to maintain our trust. And that's precisely what our report seeks to do, is to highlight the numerous questions that are raised in order to encourage a much more robust debate about these kinds of conflicts, and also to encourage the repair of what appears to be rather ineffective transparency system as we now have.
I do wonder, though, of the many questions that are raised by this report, the one that seems to be most obvious is conflict of interest rules exist in order to assure that people involved with an organization are acting in the best interests of that organization and not to the best interests of, say, their outside company. Are you suggesting, or is the report suggesting, that the conflict of interest regarding the trustees of these, you know, major Massachusetts colleges and universities might lead to decisions that are made to the detriment of those educational institutions?
When you have a situation, as is opaquely disclosed at Williams College, where some five trustees are disclosed as being affiliated with investment firms that provide investment services to the college, yet the amount of those transactions is not disclosed, it does raise fundamental questions about how much folks are getting paid in these kinds of transactions. And when you have such a preponderance of trustees who are involved in these kinds of financial decisions, it does raise questions about the independent stewardship of the board. In effect, it seems that the loyalties of trustees are being divided by engaging in related party transactions. Now, this is not illegal, but it is a division of loyalty between one of private gain and one of public purpose, which is why the schools are offered nonprofit tax exemption.
Josh Humphrey, let me ask you, I mean, speaking of total transparency, this report was funded by the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, which has actually also funded several previous reports that the TELUS Institute has done looking into executive compensation and other forms of transparency at colleges and universities. Now, the SEIU has been very active in a number of issues that have to do with employment on college campuses here in Massachusetts. So upon hearing that, aren't people right to question basically the conflict of interest you might have in doing a report about a university that's funded by a union that has had at times very fractious relations with those universities?
I don't really see why that's a conflict of interest. We disclose quite transparently in the report itself, as well as in any other research that we've done, who the sponsors of the research are. I also have personally testified in favor of pending transparency legislation on Beacon Hill. So it's no secret that I certainly have a dog in the fight. I am in favor of transparency. I mean, as you may recall, you know, recently we had not only a stewardship crisis but a financial crisis, and it was precisely the overexposure of colleges to these very opaque alternative asset classes that led them to hemorrhaged so many assets during the crisis. And the social consequence of that was not felt among the trustees. It was felt among many of the employees whose jobs were put at risk precisely because of endowment declines. So I think it's perfectly reasonable for labor unions to seek to understand the financial implications of the business ties that these organizations have.
So you don't object to the suspicion that some might have that you were just more likely to conclude negative outcomes regarding colleges and universities because of those policy positions, that, you know, was kind of baked in the cake that this would be a critical report of schools like Harvard and BU and BC and Williams?
Our findings are data-driven. We encourage everyone out there to take a look at the report. We provide screenshots of the filings themselves. It's incontrovertible that Williams College refused to disclose on its filings to the Massachusetts Attorney General's office the amount of the investments at stake in the numerous business transactions that are reported, even though that's the clear instruction on the form. That is not an ideological or policy point of view. That is an empirical observation that any fact checker can confirm.
Josh Humphrey is a fellow at the TELUS Institute and lead author of the new report, Errors of Omission. You can find a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Josh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And up next, before Suzanne Collins had The Hunger Games, M.T. Anderson had Feed. He's a pioneer in writing smart but not sunny books for teens, and he's our latest Boston visionary. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.